Senate Commerce Committee to order. We have a couple of bills that are set for public hearing and possible work session, and a couple others that are set for just work session. I think what we're going to do is we're going to go with the bill that has a number of people here for testimony. This is House Bill 2163. Ms. Brown, why don't you give us the overview?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2163A requires all cigarettes sold or distributed in Oregon to be fire safe, that is, have a reduced ignition propensity as determined by the state fire marshal, authorizes rulemaking and enforcement by the state fire marshal, authorizes civil penalties, establishes the cigarette fire safety fund from penalties, authorizes attorney general enforcement, declares an emergency effective on passage. There's no revenue impact, and there is a fiscal statement that has been issued. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And we have a number of individuals that are here to testify, and I see no one in opposition, at least on this list. And
Mr. Chair, we could save a lot of time, just pass the bill out.
Well, I'm pretty well close to that. In fact, we have a little time frame here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and let Nancy Orr and Tom Whaling come up here first. And let's see, why don't y'all come on up? And while they're coming up, Lisa Millett, if you'd like to join them. And while they're getting situated, I'm going to tell you I've got Jim Gardner, and then, you know, see Ralph, it looks like you've got three individuals that are all supposed to be one panel. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So I'm assuming that's going to be a kumbaya, a panel.
Yes.
And we don't always need to embrace just to show our support. Is that correct? So the quicker we actually gavel in and gavel out on this bill is probably the best, wouldn't you say?
Indubitably.
Wonderful.
For the record, indubitably.
Pick the longest word he could to answer the shortest question you had.
And that's not on the record either, so. And I'll remind the panel that we have here, if you'll give us your name and your testimony, also realize that we know that this is something that had a 58-2 vote, I believe, out of the House, which
excuse.
Might, and those two were excused, so it's actually it was 58 votes.
Zero.
Considering 2 years ago, I'm really surprised how we got so much support in just a short 22 months. But here we are. Yeah. So, Tom, I'm going to let you decide on who's going to go first, and what we really would like for you to do is summarize whatever testimony you have. I think most of us are very familiar with the facts, and we're ready to move forward. And I've got one committee member that needs to leave for other obligations, so the sooner the better.
The less you say, the faster you get your bill out.
Got it. Yeah, I understand that. Chair Pozanski, members of the committee, why don't we have the state fire marshal, whose bill it is, give her presentation first.
Chair Pozanski, members of the committee, and Nancy Orr, state fire marshal, it's a joy to bring you this bill. We have worked very hard with Jim Gardner to craft the language in this bill to make sure that we are in alliance with the national standard developed by the state of New York. In the time since this was heard and voted on in the House, New Jersey has passed it and has it at the governor's desk, so we'll be state number 8, and there'll be very little cost to implement this bill to do the right thing for the citizens of the state of Oregon. I appreciate your support very, very much.
Thank you. Lisa?
Yes. Chair Pozanski, members of the committee, I'm Lisa Miette, and I'm the Injury Prevention and Epidemiology Manager at the Department of Human Services and Public Health. One of the things our injury program does is we do surveillance, public health surveillance on injury problems to identify the problems in communities that are injuring people and causing hospitalizations and deaths. And fire injuries that occur as a result of cigarettes burning down and starting house fires have been identified as a problem, and we've been tracking this, and we've also been watching what's happening nationwide, and we fully support Oregon implementing this law, and would seek your support for this bill.
Thank you. Mr. Whalen.
Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, Thank you for your apparent support for the bill. And thank you, Floyd, as well, for the help in getting it out of the Senate last session, 22-8, and also Senator Gordley. We lost an additional 8 people over the interim, and an additional 6 states have signed on to the concept. And so now we've got well over a quarter of the American public protected by this concept on a state-by-state basis, and we will hopefully be the 8th. So thank you all very much for your past and present and future efforts. Thank you.
All right. Any questions for anyone on the panel? Thank you. Now, I do have 4 other people who are signed up to testify. Mr. Gardner, if you'd like to come up and testify, please feel free.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jim Gardner, and I'm appearing today for Philip Morris. As the fire marshal indicated, we spent many, many hours, weeks, and months working through the details of this very technical legislation to make sure that it was fully in conformity with the laws that have been adopted in New York and California and other states, and that we will, in fact, enjoy a uniform national standard. And it was a great pleasure to work with the fire marshal's office, and particularly Terry Glocar, who is her assistant, who is my negotiating partner on this project. We're in support of the bill.
Right. Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Gardner? Thank you. And for the last panel, if you'd like to come up and make comments, so be it. If not, we're going to move forward and go right to our work session. With that, was there anyone else who wanted to give testimony besides those that had signed up on the list? Not seeing anyone, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2163. We'll open a work session on House Bill 2163.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would like to move 2163A to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe has moved House Bill 2163A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to brief comment.
Please.
25 years ago, I introduced and carried the bill requiring smoke detectors in all apartments. That had a major impact on the death toll from fires in this state. But unfortunately, some people, especially people who smoke, sometimes remove the batteries from smoke detectors and they become inoperable. And then when they fall asleep with a cigarette on the couch or in bed, it catches fire. And unfortunately, there's still a number of people dying every year because the cigarettes do not self-extinguish. This bill will take care of that. Perhaps will have almost as much of an impact on the number of Oregonians that die in house fires as that bill that we passed 25 years ago.
Thank you. Any other comments? Senator Vakian.
Just to recognize the really terrific work that one of our former members, Tom Whalen, did in getting this bill through both chambers. There were a lot of leaders in getting this thing done last session and this session, but Tom was at the front of the pack. Good work.
Yeah. Any other comments?
And Mr. Chair.
Senator Gordley.
Former Representative Whalen possesses patience and persistence.
Yeah, and the chair would also acknowledge that. I think it really shows to the credit of Tom and for Tim Beer and others that were involved last year that actually really brought it to the forefront for us at the legislature as the need for this type of legislation. How the persistency has paid off just looking at the vote on the House side where we weren't able to, let's say, get anything of record. And we're here today, and we are going to go ahead and move this bill forward based on all indications. So any objections to the recommendation that's before us?
Yeah.
Please note on the record, Senator Beyer will be a no. And is there any other objection? If not, then the other 4 of us will be ayes. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and close the work session on 2163A, and myself and Senator Gordley will co-carry this bill. All right. So we're going to move into our next hearing, opening up a public hearing on, I believe we're going to go with Senate Bill 403.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 403 allows a tipped employee to waive meal periods prohibits employer from coercing employees to waive meal periods and authorize up to a $2,000 penalty against an employer for coercion. There's a dash 2 amendment that require. Would you like me to go into the dash 2 amendment, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
It requires the Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industry to adopt rules allowing tipped employees to waive meal periods. It adds language clarifying that each violation is a separate and distinct offense and that is a continuing violation, each day's violation is a separate and distinct violation. Establishes a sunset date of January 2nd, 2012. There's no fiscal impact. That's new information. And no revenue impact. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. And I believe, Commissioner Gardner, you're scheduled to give testimony on this bill. And I'm not sure if anyone else has signed up for this particular bill or not.
We should have Mr. Perry here from the Restaurant Association.
Yeah, I thought so. I didn't see Bill in the room. So why don't you go ahead and give us your testimony. We'll see if he makes it in.
Fair enough, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Dan Gardner, Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industry. And to give you just a little bit of history where this bill comes from, on June 1st, 2006, the Oregon Restaurant Association requested a rule change to ORS 839-0200050. Deleting the requirement for meal periods for tipped employees, for waiters and waitresses, for tipped staff. In 1999, they made a similar request of then Commissioner Jack Roberts. Commissioner Roberts held a rulemaking hearing and subsequently denied the petition for change. On August 31st, 2006, I did the same through the same process. But during the process of their request, I received hundreds of letters, phone calls, and emails from waiters and waitresses asking that they not be taken off of the floor of a restaurant during their meal period in order that they can continue to work tips because the tips are a large portion of their income. It brought about a lot of discussion with the ORA, and the culmination of that is this bill. What we've talked about is doubling the penalty for this particular area and then putting in a rulemaking process so that in rulemaking we can make sure that what happens here with this particular experiment, and it is an experiment because it does have a sunset to it. If it doesn't work, it could go away. In California, they state law there allows that employees in all professions can give up their meal and rest periods through their own volition. But what it's come about being in California is that whenever you're hired, they stick a waiver in front of you along with all other employment papers, and it really is becoming, in California, has become a condition of employment. They don't tell you when you sign up all those papers that if you don't sign that one, you won't get the job, but the inference is most certainly there. So what we're trying to do with the rulemaking process to make sure that doesn't happen, I want to make sure in the rulemaking process, and Mr. Perry and I have talked about this quite a bit, is that that we make sure that there it is the employee's choice. There are a number of employees who need that meal period. Should they have diabetes, hypoglycemia, or conditions of that nature, they need that period. A number of them would like to give it up. If it is truly the employee's own individual choice, that's fine with me. If it is used as a condition of employment or in a coercive nature, say an employer, for instance, were to say, I've got six waiters and waitresses, and if everybody doesn't sign the waiver, then nobody gets it. I'd hate to see a condition where you got five of them that want to and one doesn't, and the other five push the sixth one to agree. So we want to make sure in our rulemaking process we outline that it is the employee's choice, that it isn't a condition of employment, and that no coercion whatsoever can be used. And also, the one thing about the Bureau is we have a dual responsibility. We have the responsibility of education as well as that of enforcement. So through the Technical Assistance Unit for Employers, we'll be educating employers through seminars, through our books, through all sorts of forms, our website, in order to make sure that employers know what this new law is about and they have an input into the rulemaking process and to make sure that this experiment we can go forward and see if it works or doesn't.
Great. Mr. Perry.
Yep.
Just in time.
Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, for the record, Bill Perry at the Oregon Restaurant Association. I apologize for being tardy.
We were actually going to pass the bill out before you got here, and just show that we can really be efficient.
I was going to say, sometimes, you know, if you can keep your mouth closed and get your bill out, it's always a bonus for everybody. I was going to say on this bill, it's one of the those issues where it's actually a, probably shouldn't say this on record, but it's probably the most broken law that we have in our industry, just from the standpoint of, as employers, we set up a time and require our servers to take their meal periods. But many of them, as you know, that servers that earn tips, if you take it in the middle of your shift, it's during your highest period of revenue. And remember, it's not the employer giving them the revenue, it's the customer. And so if they take their break in the peak and somebody else is filling their shift, then what happens to that tip income? And so what has happened is the employers continually say they don't want to, their employees continually say they don't want to take their breaks. And so we schedule them, we have a breaker come in and everything else, but it's still hard to get them off the floor. And so in the interim, we told our employers, it said, you know, if they want this, they need to ask for it. And I don't know if Commissioner Gardner has mentioned this, but so what we did was send out a bunch of petitions and said, here, have your employees sign this. And what we received in our office was well over 100 from employees, and we got over 100 emails that we set up on our website. So I know you guys probably know well, you get 200 responses from an issue, it's a pretty big issue. And so we turned those over to Commissioner Gardner, and he was very open to working with us. And obviously the only part we couldn't do through rule was the penalty phase, and I completely agree if there's any coercion, that we don't want that. And like I said, at this point in time, it there hasn't been any, to my knowledge. It's all the employees want it, but we're unable to give it. And so trying to find a way that we can work together and everything to try to get this done and do a trial period, which is what the Dash 2 amendments do, I believe, will give us a good thing to work forward. And if for some reason it doesn't work or we need to change it, then it basically forces everybody to come back and fix it or change it, or it just goes away. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Senator Beyer.
Thank you. Commissioner, if this is a good thing for employees who want it in the restaurant industry, why isn't it a good thing for employees who want it, specifically farm workers who work on a piecework basis? And we have the same trouble in that industry. We tell people they have to take a break, they have to take a mealtime, they say they don't want to because they want to be able to work and earn more money.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, I'd say for one thing, as I stated in my testimony, it's something I'm very hesitant going down the road of in the first place. But I'm willing to do it with these particular employees because, for one, they actually lose a considerable amount of revenue if they're not tipped. For two, I've got petitions and letters and emails from waiters and waitresses in this industry who clearly want it. When it comes to farm workers, for one thing, you know, they don't get tips. And that half an hour period that they take for a meal period or a 10-minute period they take for a rest period, in some of the hardest work that there is to do out there in the fields, is a period they need to revitalize, and studies will show you that in that particular type of particularly physically exerting industry, that they're actually more productive after that period. Secondly, I don't have one single farm worker who's sent me a petition asking me to be relieved of that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a follow-up, I guess that we can challenge the farm industry to do what the restaurant industry did, I guess, and get petitions out. But I would point out that those same farm workers, they aren't making money if they aren't. And this is only, I'm only talking about piecework farm workers here, not hourly. Well, they obviously make minimum wage by the piecework. But if they also aren't making money if they aren't doing it, and if the worker chooses to do it just like this, with no coercion, double the penalties, because the farm industry has the same problems. You know, you tell them it's time to take a break when they're in a strawberry field, and they don't want to leave the field, or in wherever else they're doing piecework. I'm just using strawberries as an example, because that's a classic example of piecework. But if the employee requests it, and if you get the same issues, they make more money only when they're working, and it's not, you could argue that, you know, they aren't getting paid by the employee, but if they aren't picking the berries rot, and or the birds eat them and take them off, so you got the same issues going on. I don't understand the difference.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, I mean, the biggest difference is that in a tipped industry, you only have people who come to the restaurant usually during you know, your largest times are breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And mostly what we're talking about with this meal period is the lunch period when they'd be pulled off the floor at a high tip time. Again, as I said earlier, with farm workers who work very, very hard, having, you know, when you work piece rate, your productivity will increase after you've had a reasonable rest period. And, you know, other than perhaps a few birds or the dangers of weather conditions, you don't have that same specific lunch period rush you would in the restaurant industry.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Senator Gordley.
I'd like to ask Senator Byers' question in a different way. Should we be concerned that this sets up an inequity in the law, different treatment for different classes of employees?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, you know, the concern I have, and I'm really hesitant but willing to go down this road, is that we've always had a clear, bright line. It is not the employee's choice. They must take the meal period is the bright line we've had for Oregon. This is trying to take just a little step at where employees are actually requesting it to see if, you know, it will work. Are we setting up a different class? I don't think so. I think we're looking to an industry that's asking for it. The employees are asking for it. And where we can make it their choice and their decision, I think we're willing to make that one small experiment.
Thank you.
All right. If there's no other questions, gentlemen, thank you very much. Was there anyone else who wanted to give testimony today on Senate Bill 403? Not seeing any, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing on Senate Bill 403. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 403. We do have a Dash 2 amendment that the chair would entertain a motion on.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 403.
Senator Barr moves the Dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 403. Any discussions? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 403 as amended with the Dash 2 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Barr moves Senate Bill 403 as amended with the Dash 2 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Senator Monroe?
Did you hear from any of our friends in organized labor relative to this bill?
I have not heard from any organized labor interest that have come to talk to me about the bill specifically. I have spoken with the sponsor of the bill, and I've also spoken with the commissioner about the bill.
Yeah, very good.
That's the limitations that the chair has had on this particular bill.
I'd have to assume if they had concerns, we'd have heard from them.
I would assume if they did, they would have made their concerns known.
Mr. Chair, Senator Monroe, for the record, my name is Dan Gardner, Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries again. I have spoken with both HERE, Local 9, the hotel employees and restaurant employees, and UFCW, the United Food and Commercial Workers, Local 555. And from my conversations with them, they have voiced no objections to the bill.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I'm catching something right here. There is a sunset.
That's correct.
Of 2012. The language in the proposed amendment that we've adopted uses the phrase, this 2007 Act becomes operative on January 2nd, 2012. Can someone clarify that language?
I can. When I first saw that, I was concerned, too. It's basically, we'll put everything back into place that's current law in 2012. It's a little different than the way we've seen how sunsets have been written, but basically it will reinstate the existing law in 2012.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. That's the way Legislative Council is doing sunsets now. They put, rather than just saying a law ends at a certain time, they put what the law will become at that time and put an operative date in that section, and that's what this does. Yep. And I guess I would also like to say for the record that I guess my understanding of Commissioner Gardner, he would possibly entertain, if he hears from farm workers, a bill to, in fact, wouldn't take a bill, because he did the farm workers by rule without legislation. So if he hears from farm workers, let the farm workers be notified if they really do want that option. they need to contact the Bureau Commissioner.
Okay, fine. I think that notice has been given out, and we'll see
several
where those
times.
Cards and letters and emails come and go.
We'll see.
Senator Avakian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish I had thought about it when we had folks up here, but has anybody looked into whether or not this would impair any existing labor contracts and therefore give us some legal difficulties with the legislation? Yeah, but I don't know what the language of the existing contract says. May mirror the statute, or they don't.
One more time, Mr. Chair. My name is Dan Gardner, Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries, and Mr. Chair, Senator Avakian. Collective bargaining agreements are already exempt from the law. The assumption is that if you have a collective bargaining agreement, whatever's in your collective bargaining agreement is done for the benefit of your workers. So if for instance, meal and rest periods are mentioned in a collective bargaining agreement, they can negotiate anything above or beyond the current law. If they're silent to it, then they go to the current law.
Any other questions? Any objection to the motion that's before us, which is sending Senate Bill 403 as amended by the dash twos to the floor with the due pass recommendation? No objections? So ordered. The chair will carry this one. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 403, and we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 118.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 118, if the committee will remember, it's the price gouging bill from the Department of Justice that we heard on January 22nd. There is a dash one amendment, and I noticed the Department of Justice representatives are here, so I'm not sure if you want me to have them talk about it, or would you like me to talk about it?
If you want to give us a snapshot, that would be great. And then if we need assistance from DOJ, if someone asks, we have them ready to come.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The dash one amendment adds a 30-day automatic termination provision for the declaration, which can be extended in 30-day increments, provided that a disruption of market continues to exist. It exempts public utilities and electric utilities. It changes the wording regarding the affirmative defense. It exempts price increases that are the result of increased internal costs or expenses related to the declaration of an abnormal disruption of the market. There is no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. That's new information. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. So we're in work session, and the chair would entertain a motion as it pertains to the dash one amendments.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash one amendments into Senate Bill 118.
Senator Barr moves the dash one amendments into Senate Bill 118. Any discussions?
Yes, Mr. Chair. At our last meeting on this measure, I asked that we consult with the Joint Emergency Preparedness Committee for comments on the bill. We know that price gouging is something that happens after disasters or those kinds of events. What did we hear back from that committee?
Senator Gordley, Mr. Chair, I asked the administrators to relay our wish to get the comments back, and I have not received any comments.
So I guess that's silence to the request. Any other questions or comments?
I would just suggest that we try again, which is not to say delay the bill, but we did ask back in January. And this emergency preparedness, the work of that committee is one of the most important committees in the building. And I know they have a full plate, but I would like to see us try to put this issue back in front of them for their comment.
Yeah, Senator Gordley, I guess I feel that we've made that extension. I didn't personally ask them, but I did have staff, and we talked, myself and Ms. Braun, as to the status on that, and as she's reported to us in open meeting today, the request was there and nothing has come up. I would like to go ahead and get the bill moving forward, and since that is a joint committee, I would expect that if they want to give comment, they'll be able to do so on the House side. Unless we have opposition to move the bill today, I'd like to go ahead and move it. Senator Monroe?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I will certainly support moving the bill today, but perhaps before it comes up for a floor vote, you might want to have a conversation with Senator Verger, who's been very active in the Emergency Preparedness Committee and so on, and I'm sure could give you her thoughts on this bill.
I'd be glad to do that. Other comments? If not, let's see, we have the dash ones. Any opposition or objection to the dash ones being moved into Senate Bill 118? Not seeing any, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 118 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Avakian moves Senate Bill 118 as amended by the dash ones to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Any objection?
Yes.
Senator Beyer. Okay, so just in the sense of the objection, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay, I apologize. I want to make sure you didn't want to say anything.
Oh, no.
So we'll mark for the record Senator Beyer an objection, everyone else in support, and we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 118. And is there an individual who would like to be the carrier on this one? Senator Gordley will be our carrier on Senate Bill 118 as amended to, with the dash ones to the floor. And we'll open up a work session on our last bill that we have before us today, which is Senate Bill 158. Ms. Braun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 158, we heard on February 28th, if you recall, it permits the Home Care Commission to elect workers' compensation coverage for home care workers. It has a dash 2 amendment that states the Home Care Commission or a designee can write the return to work offer on behalf of the clients of the Department of Human Services. It has no revenue impact, and the fiscal statement, you just received it from LFO on our desk today, and it is indeterminate. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, and let's see. So we've got the dash twos, and the dash ones are not in play today, if I remember correctly.
The dash one amendment had a clerical error, so
right.
The dash twos are what we're looking at.
And so if we could have a motion on the dash twos to Senate Bill 158.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Senator Beyer moves the dash twos for Senate Bill 158. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 158 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Avakian has moved Senate Bill 158 as amended by the dash two amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Senator Beyer, are you all right? I just want to see that you're looking.
I'm just looking at it real quick as I can, Mr. Chair, and I'll be telling you no.
Okay. And so any other discussion? Any objection besides Senator Beyer? It will be ordered to before the due pass recommendation as amended Senate Bill 158. And do we have a Senator Avakian will be our carrier of the bill. So thank you very much. That will close Senate Bill work session on Senate Bill 158. And Ms. Braun, what else do we have for the committee today?
That's all today. Next time we'll have the consumer protection bills from the Department of Consumer and Business Services.
Yeah. Tomorrow, that will be Wednesday. We have, I think, four bills, if not five.
Five public hearing on all of them.
And there may be one of those bills that might move forward. There may be others. Not sure exactly what the status is. So we'll try to move through those as quickly as we have today and keep everyone on schedule. Accordingly, we'll be adjourned.
Roger on renewable energy tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There'll probably still be some more time.